Me this morning to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter number 19. One of the great things about the Word of God, of course, is there's no contradiction in it whatsoever from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, in the book that we hold in our hands. But as we consider the words of God, not only do they not contradict themselves, but there is one unifying message throughout all of Scripture. And of course, that is the message of redemption, God's grand plan of redemption. Some call it the romance of redemption from the beginning of the fall in the garden all the way through the restoration of man into the presence of God in Revelation. That's what this book really all focuses upon. But throughout that unifying message, the theme that stands out the most throughout it all is the subject of repentance. If we are to have the favor of God upon us, if we are to have the salvation that God has appointed to be available to us in Christ, if we are to have any kind of relationship with God whatsoever, repentance has to be at the forefront. Has to be at the forefront, or else these things cannot exist. This is why Christ and John the Baptist both came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repentance leads the way. And we find, and we'll find that as a theme in our reading here this morning. Begin with me in verse number 11. 2 Samuel 19, verse number 11. "And King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar, the priest, saying, 'Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, Why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house? Ye are my brethren, ye are my bones and my flesh, wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? And say ye to Amasa, Art thou not bone of my bones and of my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if thou be not captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab.' And he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, 'Return thou and all thy servants.' So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet the king, or to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan." The recent days of the life of King David had been among the darkest that he had ever or would ever experience in the course of his 40-year reign in the throne of Israel. There had lately been a coup in the land. There had lately been an attempt to overthrow and by force take the throne from the king. Were this not bad enough for the sweet psalmist of Israel to endure, the matter was made even the worse because the offender, the instigator, the one that desired to take the throne from David was his own son, Absalom. Absalom prepared a chariot and horses and 50 men to run before it and came into Jerusalem for to seek the throne and to banish David. In advance of Absalom's arrival, David takes the course of fleeing. He leaves the royal appointments of Jerusalem, taking with him some of his servants and mighty men, advisors and different things, leaving behind those that were secondary to him but still important. He left the throne, he left the holy city and the royal appointments of Jerusalem, and from there he went over Jordan and he traveled to Menahem. That travel or that journey to Menahem, it was not a royal procession by any means. The procession that conducted him thither was one of sackcloth and ashes, so to speak. It was one that had a barefoot king walking hooded. through the night, across the brook Kidron, across Jordan, into the region where he would find some rest in Menahem. The amount of grief that this caused David had to be immense when you think about it. You think about your own son turning on you to the degree that he wants to take the kingdom from you. And you know by word that you have received, he even seeks to take your life. Because Absalom knew that even though King David had fled, and even though he was already sitting on David's throne, he was sleeping with David's wives, he was doing all of these things, yet he knew that as long as David lived, he would not truly be king. And therefore, he sends out after him, Absalom himself going, sending out spies through the land. Once they settled on a region and knowing where David was, they went and assembled there in that place. But through the course of events, we know that David and his men were stronger. David and his men prevailed. David and his men took the life of the instigator of this coup, slew his son Absalom. And this caused David to grieve even the more and to cry out unto God, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son." And he wished that these things had happened to himself instead of to Absalom. He had been delivered from his adversary. He had been handed back the kingdom. He had been delivered from death. But yet at the cost of his own son, he gained his kingdom and he lost his son. And how difficult that must have been for David. But yet it was a time of victory. And that really is where our text picks up this morning. After David had received word that Absalom was dead, after he had mourned for Absalom, after he had grieved for Absalom there at Menahem sitting in the gate, finally, after the grief had passed, and finally after he had dealt with the situation at hand, joy returned. David desired to go back to the throne. David desired to go back to Jerusalem and to be in that place that he loved so dearly. And so he sends unto Judah, asking them the question, why had they not yet came for him? Why had they not yet sent for him to be restored unto this place? The kingdom of Israel was a division at this time, because some had went after Absalom and some stayed true to David, but he knew the men of Judah would be there for him. And we see there in verse number 14 that the men sent him this word, "Return thou and thy servants," verse 15. And so the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. So we have the scene being set up around the Jordan River at Gilgal. We have Judah coming out in what turned out to be a great host of people. Having the kingdom delivered to him once again, David returns unto Jordan, prepares to cross over it. What a joyous crossing it must have been for him. Certainly going back under much different circumstances than he had left. And amongst the attendants to meet the king, out of all the thousands that were gathered, of all the men that had came to meet him, out of all the families of Judah that had came to conduct David over Jordan and to return him with a great and royal procession and parade with much to do unto Jerusalem, we find in verse number 16, this man, Shimei. Shimei was also come. Out of all the thousands, of all the people that came to meet King David, we find there are a handful that are highlighted in this chapter. You have Shimei here. You also have Mephibosheth and Barzili the ending of this chapter. God brings these men to the forefront. They came unto David for different reasons. We highlight this morning Shimei. As he comes to meet the king at the Jordan River, we find that he has a great need. That Shimei has a great need in his life. He is in mortal danger. He needs forgiveness. He needs pardon. He needs reprieve. He needs to be saved. He comes to the king to find that salvation. He comes to the king to find that deliverance, because Shimei understood and knew this one thing, that David, the king of Israel, was the only one that could deliver him. It didn't do any good to go to the governors of the land. It didn't do any good to go to the leaders of the tribes. It didn't do any good to go to the judges of the land. No, it didn't do any good to seek out any of these. But Shimei knew that King David was the only one that could deliver him from the sentence of death. That could deliver him from the difficulty that he now found himself to. And in Shimei we find the perfect picture of a rotten, guilty, vile sinner in need of the very same thing that Shimei himself is in need of. That is salvation. That is reprieve. That is being forgiven of sin and being saved by grace. In this man, we find a wonderful example of a guilty sinner coming to repentance towards God, whereby he finds salvation in forgiveness. The problem was, as Shimei came to David, because he was the only one that could deliver him, the only one that could pardon him, the only one that could release him and deliver to him the deliverance that he needed, the problem was that King David was the offended party. The problem was the mortal danger that he was in, the difficulty that Shimei found himself in, was in that he had offended King David. That he had done aught against him, that he had done things and sinned against King David. And so how is it that this man can come before the king? How is it that this man can find deliverance, can find reprieve, knowing that King David is the very one that has been offended? But when we mention or talk about Shimei here and understand that he is the perfect picture of a guilty, vile, rotten sinner, we find the same to be true. If a man, woman, boy or girl is ever going to come to salvation in Christ, they have to come to God to find redemption. They have to come to God to find deliverance, to find salvation. They have to come to God because He is the only one that can make that difference. It doesn't do any good to go to the kings of the land, the governors of the land. It doesn't do any good to pray to men or to do good works. It doesn't do any good. God is the only one that can make a difference in the life of a sinner. God is the only one that can grant salvation. God is the only one that can deliver from the penalty of sin and death. The problem? The guilty, vile, rotten sinner has offended God because of sin. Has offended God because of their nature. Has offended God because of their depravity. That's exactly where we find this man. Shimei and David had met before. This wasn't the first time, and Shimei wasn't coming to ask David for mercy from an avenger of blood or from an enemy he had met in the way or from a sin that he had committed against another Israelite, but it was against David himself. Go back with me to chapter 16. Keep in mind here, that as David comes, or as Shimei comes and seeks forgiveness, comes and seeks restoration, comes and seeks deliverance, he is doing so at the hands of the very one that he has offended. The very one. The one that has that power and that right, that ability. So it is for the sinner today to come to God, understanding you have offended Him by your sin. 2 Samuel chapter number 16, we find here in verse number 5, David is on his flight out of Jerusalem. Absalom has declared his intent to overtake the kingdom. Absalom has prepared his chariot and 50 men to run before him. Absalom has made his way, and David escapes by night on foot. And he takes the path that will lead him towards Menahem. And on the way, we see here in verse 5, when King David came to Bahurim, Behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. He cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. The Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. Behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. And then we notice down to verse number 13, after some discourse. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. Wow. These two men had met before. Shimei comes against David, throwing stones, casting insults, assaulting the king's servants and everybody with him. He shows great disdain for God's anointed man in his current situation. He continued on apace, even cursing as he went, showing himself to be at enmity with David, showing himself that he hated, that he disdained, and that he wanted David to die and Absalom to rule. He was completely and wholly 100% against King David. He is a picture of a guilty, vile, rotten sinner. Because that is exactly what we are before salvation. Naturally, at our birth, we act like this man. If you put the sinner in the place of Shimei and God in the place of David, this is how we act towards God all the days of our life before salvation. We cast stones. We throw insults. We blaspheme with the lips that He has given us. We curse Him with our heart. We try to overthrow Him. We denounce Him. We say, surely you're not the ruler of all. Surely that Satan is. Surely some other man is. Surely it is not thee. Our natural estate is to act exactly like Shimei, to stand against the Creator of the ends of the earth. As I read verses 5 through 8 here, I cringe. To imagine David in such an estate, to imagine the difficulty that he was experiencing, and then to be met with stones and insults, to be met with this assault is so grievous unto David, is so difficult even further. Yet how much more do we do to God in our natural condition? How much more do we unto God as we follow our depravity and our sin in this world? How much more do we do as we neglect the things of God? Hold your place here. Turn over to Romans chapter number 8. There are some gathered in this room this morning that are in the place of Shimei. They're casting stones at God. They are casting insults at God. They are assaulting God. Yes, to varying degrees and in different circumstances. But yet we see that they exist every single day. And you know what? I was one of them before salvation. I was one of them. I acted just like this man. I didn't care what God had to say. I didn't care about His word. I didn't care about His authority over me. I didn't care about any of His things. And I cast stones at Him with the way that I lived, the things that I said, the things that I did. Romans chapter 8, verse number 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. All men are naturally like Shimei. In the flesh they cannot please God. They do what's natural and they curse and they throw stones at God. Every day God is offended at man and his behavior, at man and his depravity, at man and his sin. Every day God is blasphemed. Every day God receives the worst, just like King David does here on his way to Menahem. Receives the worst that our nature has to offer and to bring. And Shimei is such a great example of that. Such a great example of that. But as we return to our text, I want you to notice, from the time that David had left the kingdom, from the time that Shimei had cursed and thrown stones, from the time that Shimei had basically told David that he needed to die because Absalom was going to rule, until these two meet again, something happened. Something transpired in his life and in his heart. The skeptics among us will say, well, David won, so therefore he didn't have a whole lot of choice. The skeptics will say that he sided on the wrong side and now he is just groveling in the flesh in hopes that his life might be preserved. If you want to be a skeptic this morning, if that's what you want to take from this, then go ahead. You'll miss out on a great blessing. But there's something greater here, I believe. Because Shimei comes to David and his spirit is completely different than it was before. The two men are the same. They're from the same places. Their occupations, their titles, their standing in life, all the same. The only thing that had changed was that time had passed. And I believe that God had worked in his life and granted unto Shimei the spirit of repentance, the grace even of repentance, that he could come to King David and stand before him in this way. This is important to note because without repentance, there can be no salvation. Every man in his natural estate is altogether wicked. It's just like Shimei, offending God. The problem is, once we get to be worked on a little bit by God, we realize that the only one that we can receive pardon from, the only one that we can receive salvation from, is the very one which we have been against all of our lives. The very one that we have offended so greatly over and over and over again all of these days. Shimei had no other place to go other than to seek the favor and forgiveness of David. We see every man stands in this condition and needs to humble himself before God. And that's exactly what Shimei does here. He doesn't come with a haughty spirit. He doesn't come with a, I really didn't mean that. It was a bad time for me. I'd had a bad day at work. He didn't come with the excuse, my family life is hard and difficult. I was just letting off steam. He didn't come with any of those kind of excuses. But he comes and he bows himself before David. Unworthy that David should have any mercy or any kindness or any grace toward him whatsoever. David had every right to take off his head as Shimei bowed it before him. Every right. Every right to do so. Every right to cast him aside. Every right never to think about again. Every right to not show him any favor. But we see that the opposite of this transpires. Notice with me three things about Shimei that ought to be the heart of every truly repentant soul. Repentance isn't about getting caught. Repentance isn't about making a spectacle of ourselves and saying, look at how pious I am. But repentance is about understanding we have offended Almighty God. And He has every right to cast us aside into hell and never to think about us ever again. We fall before Him. And that's the first thing we notice is Shimei's posture. Notice here in verse number 18. There went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei the son of Gera fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. His former posture was resolute in defiance. I mean, you can picture Shimei coming out of his house as the king's procession goes by. Resolute in his offending, resolute in his casting of stone, resolute in his defiance, in cursing the king. But now, his posture is much different. Everything he stood for before has now changed. Now, he falls down in reverence before the king, instead of standing resolute in defiance. Now, instead of hurling insults with his tongue, we see that he entreats King David very kindly. We see that he sets David up on the position and on the level that he is to be. Not only had the orientation of his body changed, but so the posture of his words. So many, when they come to God in what they think is repentance, don't change either. They don't change either. Because all they've done is some righteous work that they think is going to save them. All they've done is pray some prayer. All they've done is clean up a thing or two in their life. All they've done is what they have heard tell in religion what they should do. They haven't changed their posture at all. They still believe themselves to be something when they're nothing. They still believe God to be smaller than what He is and really have no right to tell them what they ought to do. They haven't changed their posture or their words. Oh, how that is the mark of a truly repentant soul as they come to salvation in Christ. Their posture is no more close-fisted towards God, no more angry, no more casting of insults, but instead, with open hands and open heart, coming to God, humbling ourselves before Him, falling on our faces, doing reverence and obeisance, knowing that He is the King of all, and that we have no standing before Him whatsoever on our own. It cannot come from a proud heart, but can only proceed from a humbled one. Can only proceed from a humbled one. Remember in Luke chapter 18, there we have a story of two men that went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood up and he beat on his chest in a posture that said, "Look at me." And he mouthed words towards heaven of saying, "I thank you, God, that, you know, I do all of this for you and I do all of that for you. Look at what a good man that I am. I'm far better than this publican over here." While all the time the publican wouldn't even as much as lift up his eyes toward heaven. The publican would not even as much as call out to God in that way. But instead he humbled himself. Instead he bowed and all that he had to say was, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." He humbled himself before God. True repentance looks like this. It doesn't look like the Pharisee. It doesn't look like Shimei did before. But instead, true repentance is a humbling experience. Humbling because you realize, as Shimei did, that King David could be off with his head at that very moment. Understanding that that is what he deserved. That is what he deserved. He humbled himself before the king, but we also see that he did it in the sight of all of Judah. In the sight of the 1,000 men that verse 6:17 tells us he brought with him. In the sight of Ziba, the servant of Saul. In the sight of all of these, we see that he admitted his wrongdoing. He humbled himself before the king. And he said, "How great are you and how little am I?" Of course, he has a great posture of repentance here, such that we need to see in people today coming to the Lord in salvation. You believe you're saved today? Do you remember humbling yourself before God? I'm not talking about the date, the time, even the place. You might remember all of that. That's fine. But I'm saying, do you remember humbling yourself like Shimei here before a righteous and holy God that have every right to destroy your soul in hell? That is important. There is no salvation without that. Perhaps that is what you need to do today. You've got the coming to church down. You've got the reading of the Bible down occasionally. You've got, acting right most of the time. You've got those things down, and that's okay. But you know something's still missing. Humble yourself before God. Repent of your sin. Understand that you're wrong. Understand you've offended God with what you've done. And He is the only one that can deliver you. So you have to come to God to be saved because of that. Look with me at verse 19. Not only did Shimei have the posture of repentance, we notice here that his posture was accompanied with a plea of repentance as well, a guilty plea. We notice here in verse number 19, the posture of his words changes in this plea, and said unto the king, "Let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my Lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my Lord the king." Part of repentance is a guilty plea. In other words, you cannot come to God without an acknowledgement of sin and without a plea of guilty. In other words, repentance requires acceptance of our sin. In other words, saying, "Yes, it's mine." Owning it, "It's mine." A guilty plea, saying, "Yes, I am guilty of all the things that your word condemns me of," just as Shimei does here. He calls to David's remembrance. He says, "When I met you in the way in Jerusalem, I was wrong." He says, "I did perverse things." Do you see how that, I believe that's indication God has worked in his heart. That which once he did naturally, now he calls perverse. That doesn't just happen. That doesn't just transpire. That is the working of God in repentance. Because you begin to understand and see that my heart, my life, it is perverse in the eyes of God. It is an offense to Him. And everything that I do, no matter how good it may be or bad it may be on the scale of humanity, it's an offense to God. And I deserve His punishment. We need to acknowledge our sin. We need to plead guilty to that which we are charged with. Notice here, He doesn't obfuscate. Notice here, He doesn't excuse. Notice here, He doesn't blame. Notice here, He doesn't try to put it anywhere else. And that is a sign of true repentance. Until that comes, a man cannot be saved. Woman, boy, or girl cannot be saved. As long as it's somebody else's fault, as long as the devil made me do it, as long as it was my parents' fault for raising me the way that they did, as long as it's society's fault for as sinful as it is, as long as it's somebody else's fault, true repentance will not come. Shimei accepted responsibility for his sin. He said, "I'm wrong. I did perversely. I don't blame it on anybody else, but it is mine. It is mine." Repentance is something that you come to through the grace of God. It's not a natural course. It's not an act of wisdom or learning or education. But Shimei reached this place because the hand of God had been upon him through the course of these days and the intervening time. And oh, how we need to have the hand of God upon us if we are to experience true repentance. True repentance cannot be experienced without it. Go quickly with me, hold your place here, to 2 Peter chapter 3. The Bible has quite a bit to say about repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God is long-suffering. And He is willing that all of His, that He's given to Christ, all of those that Christ has died for, would come to repentance. Again, that being a gift and an act of God. But highlight from this verse the fact that God is long-suffering to usward. How long do you offend God before you come in repentance to Him? How long as a sinner in your natural estate did you stay in that place before God granted you repentance? How much did you offend God? And God, through His forbearance, through His long-suffering, showed mercy. Showed mercy when none was sought for. Showed grace when none was sued for. How many times, how many days, how many years did we offend God and be in that condition? And yet God was long-suffering to us. Go back to our text. Because I believe you can see this long-sufferingness even in David. As we notice here in 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 21, Abisha, his servant, the son of Zeruiah, was here to witness this. And what we're going to find out is interesting is that this same man, Abisha, was by the side of David the night that Shimei had offended him. I want you to notice here, but Abisha, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this? Because he cursed the Lord's anointed." Abisha says, this man deserves to die. And he wasn't wrong. It was a capital offense to treat the king in the way that he did. He wasn't wrong. By the law, he should have been put to death. And therefore, Abisha here represents to us the law of God. Because you know what? In our natural estate, as we come into this world, we find that the law of God says to us, die. Guilty. You have broken the commands of God. You are guilty and you deserve to die without recourse, without remedy. That's what the law says. Now go back with me to chapter 16 at their first encounter. After it had passed, or Shimei had done his cursing and his throwing of stones, notice Abisha here. Verse number 9. Then said Abisha, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." So again, we see the law of God saying unto the guilty sinner that you're condemned. You deserve to die. Abisha wanted to take off the head of Shimei because of what he had done. And he deserved it, as we said. He wanted to take his head off. From the time we're born, we enter this life, we displease God with every moment of our life. And as we do so, the law of God says die. The law of God says die. We deserve for the sickle of the second death to fall upon us. From the time that we're born, we sin and we offend God. We deserve death. We deserve that condemnation to fall that Abisha wanted to fall here upon Shimei. But notice David's response. Shimei hasn't sued for peace. Shimei hasn't said, you know, forgive me, I have done wrong. That would be time in the future yet. But notice in verse 10, and the king said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse. Because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said unto Abisha and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite do to it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." David says, "No, stay your hand. Show mercy. Show mercy. I will take the reproach. I will take the blasphemy. I will take the injury. We'll be long-suffering this night." How many times does God do that to us before we're saved? How many times do we offend God in such a great manner and He has every right at that moment to strike us dead like He did the man who put up his hand as the oxen stumbled and the Ark of the Covenant was going to fall off, killed him on the spot. Like Ananias and Sapphira who lied to the Holy Spirit, killed him on the spot. We deserved that from God many times over. We didn't sue for peace. We didn't ask for forgiveness. We didn't go to Him and say, no, Lord, deal graciously with us. No. But God did. God stayed the hand of judgment of the law. God, by His grace, was long-suffering to us that we should come to repentance. That we should find repentance. To offer true repentance before God, we must own our sin and recognize the offense that it is to God. Now go back to chapter 19. Though David accepted the blasphemy at the first and he said, no, we're not going to kill him tonight. Basically, David says, he's not even my biggest concern tonight. But he showed mercy. He showed restraint. He showed long-suffering, as God does to us. But then after Shimei had been granted the grace and spirit of repentance, after he had came and sued for peace unto the one he had offended, notice what David says to Abisha, verse 22. David said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there be any man be put to death this day in Israel? For today I know that I am this day king over Israel. Therefore the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die. And the king sware unto him. King gave him his word. He said, I grant your petition. He said, I will not at all take off your head this day. But ye shall live, I swear it unto you. Oh, what a beautiful picture of the acceptance a sinner receives at the repenting of their sin and trusting by faith in Christ. God, the offended party, wipes all of that away in the blood of Christ. Says, you're not going to die this day. You're not going to die any day to come. You're going to be saved for all of eternity and not suffer the second death. What a glorious picture of repentance, of seeking the favor of God through repentance this truly is. Then notice, thirdly, as we conclude this morning, his pursuit. We go back to verse 20 for this. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Now notice this phrase. Therefore, behold, I am come. Therefore, behold, I am come to you. His pursuit was towards the king. Today, if you want to find forgiveness, salvation, if you want to find the restoration, the things that Shimei finds here, you must too come. Not to a church, not to a pastor, not to a man, not to a methodology, but you need to come to Christ. Come to God by faith in Christ. Throws himself completely on the mercy of David, trusting that whatever the outcome would be, it would be just and right. Shimei was dealing with a man that had been through a lot. Shimei was dealing with a man, and men, we don't always do what's right. So again, he didn't have a guarantee. But one thing I do know is that if you cast yourself upon the mercies of God in true repentance, what does Christ say? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Therefore I am come. Come unto Christ today. He will not cast you out. There is no doubt. There is no chance. There is no, well, what if David's in a bad mood? There's none of that. Come to God. Repent of your sins today and trust Christ. Oh, that God would do the same according to your sin today that He has done to Shimei as he sued for peace. We notice here in verse number 21, verse number 19, he says, And said he unto the king, let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me. Psalms 32 and verse 2 says, blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity to. Blessed is that man. Comes by repentance. Comes by seeking the favor of God in repentance. It says, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did. Psalm chapter 103, verse 12 tells us that as far as the east is from the west, God hath removed our sin from us. See, the words here of Shemaiah are the words that we need to call upon God for, having full faith and assurance that He can and will deliver us these things by faith and trust in Christ. Make haste, even as it was said of Shemaiah, that he made haste and came and sought the King. Make haste today and seek the King. Find the grace, the ability to repent of your sin and turn in faith to Christ. What a joyous thing. Let's conclude this morning in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 begins by saying, O come, all ye that thirst, or words to those of that effect. But then we want to read here in verses 6 and 7. Talks about pardon. Talks about reprieve. Verse number 6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Return to the Lord, return to God. Find mercy. Find abundant, not just pardon, but abundant, abundant pardon for all of our iniquity. Let us be sure to understand that it will not come without repentance. Shimei left this experience or this day at the crossing of Jordan a joyful man, not just because of what had gone on and David had been restored, but because now the one that he had offended and had every right to slay him, now there was peace. There was peace there. And Shimei was a changed man. And we'll see some evidence of that tonight. But understand this day that salvation does not come without repentance. If you have not repented of your sin toward God, you have no salvation. You may have walked an aisle, you may have prayed a prayer, you may have been baptized, but you do not have salvation without repentance. It does not happen. Take this example of Shimei and realize that. And oh, I pray that God will grant you the grace to see the same things and come by faith. Repent of your sins today. Let's stand. Let's go to my musician.